Welcome to the Sounders FC Postmatch Show on Seattle Sports Radio 950 KJR. Sounders FC Soccer is presented by Fred Meyer, fresh for everyone. It's the Sounders FC Postmatch Show, starting now.
Impossible, improbable, however you want to describe it, somehow, some way, without anybody in the stands at Lumen Field, your Seattle Sounders put three on the board in the final 15 and change. And ladies and gentlemen, only one other team in Major League Soccer history has gone to four MLS Cups in 5 years. Well, it's time to rewrite those record books, because the Sounders, they've joined that company. Ladies and gentlemen, the Seattle Sounders will be playing for MLS Cup against the Columbus Crew this Saturday, because of one of the most amazing comeback victories you will ever see. 3-2, the final score, as the Seattle Sounders are headed back again. My name is Jackson Feltz. I can't breathe right now. I am joined by Wade Weber, Casey Keller, we're hanging on to Matt Johnson as well. All four of us are here. I'm shaking right now. Wade, I mean, Wade, I'll start with you, because we were just going nuts here in the booth to the left of us. What you get is you get Will Bruin in the 75th, you get Raul Ruiz Diaz in the 90th, and you get Gustav Svensson there in the last minute. And Wade, it's one of the most incredible victories in club history.
It is. It ranks up there. I keep thinking this is why I love sports. It keeps coming back to me that you don't get this as a banker. You know, you don't have that feeling like, oh, it's all lost.
Or a fisherman.
Yeah. It's, you know, the biggest catch you could ever get as a fisherman, probably you don't have that feeling of when Gustav gets up. And the minute it left his head, I'm already reliving it right now. The back of my neck is stabbed. Oh, I think that's in. I think, oh my God. And we're jumping around and the confetti cannon's going off and it's an empty stadium. I'm gutted that there weren't people to see it, but I ain't trading this for nothing. This is one of those feelings, Jackson, that I'll be 50 years from now, if I'm still around, I will remember this moment.
Well, there was a lot of jumping around going on in homes all over the greater Northwest. And I got text from several of them. So it was a case where, yes, they couldn't be in here in person. Obviously, they were watching at home. I'm sure the odd silly fan had turned the channel because they couldn't watch any more of it at 2-0. And are getting texts on their phone going, what happened? But still, you know, fantastic comeback. You know, and maybe it's the goalkeeper in me, Wade. I'll ask you as well as the defender, what were Minnesota thinking in that final 15 minutes to see this game out?
That is the million-dollar question. And it is. Maybe the sword has two edges, that if you're going to have Molino and Reynoso on the
Kamara
field,
you
might score two or three goals, but you are risking those sort of things.
I didn't think, Matt,
that they would give up set-piece goals. I thought they looked so
Boxel,
solid.
Boxel 6-2.
Steady.
And Grey Goose 6-3.
But to bring on Kamara.
That's a conversation, Wade. You look at Brian Schmetzer, four changes. Smith and Kelvin in the 70th. Will Bruin in the 73rd. He scores in the 75th. Gustav in the 77th. He scores 90th plus 3. Adrian Heath says, I'm going with these guys. Because if you do get one against you, you don't have Molino in stoppage time. So he gambles the absolute other way, and a veteran head coach loses out. He had no defenders. His Ludd, Reynoso, and Molino can't defend anything.
No, and I think, again, it's one of those things that you're going to live and die by what, you know, go with the horses that got you there, right? And those guys scored two goals. I mean, 15 minutes to go on the road in the playoffs. I'd like to think they're kicking it in the stands, taking it to the corner, putting 11 behind the ball.
You would think so.
Because frankly, the Sounders crossing for much of the game didn't lead to anything.
No, not at all. I thought they did an excellent job of marking throughout the match on those crosses. They collapsed in numbers and the ball went in. But even when, you know, they either cleared it first time or just let it go through because there wasn't a green shirt there to defend. And then, but then at the end, when the Sounders had to put more numbers forward, for some reason, the White Shirts of Minnesota decided to stay up.
Yeah.
Which was like, all right. Oh. I mean, but.
How many times was it 2-on-2 or maybe 2-on-3 yeah. and you're looking at the Frenchman to bail you out? And if Will Bruin's keeping up with the center back, then, yeah, I mean, Rui Diaz had chances to have a hat trick in the last 15 minutes.
And that's a great point, because, and not only the last 15, because this is a Sounder team that it wasn't only in the last 15 minutes did they throw everybody forward. This is a team that in the first half, I count like 6-7 chances, real great chances at goal. They were around Minnesota the whole game, especially in that first half. It was just a matter of a time and eventually getting these goals, and they just came in a flurry.
When people talk about, you know, the modern, you know, football, both teams start the game in a particular formation. 4-2-3-1. You got one striker. So the Sounders put a second striker up with Will Bruin.
Right. I know where you're going, Casey.
Well, how does that goal come out? Rui Diaz takes a shot, Boxell blocks it, it falls to the second striker.
Who's 6'3".
Who sweeps it into the side netting. If you're still playing a 4-2-3-1, your two wide guys are nowhere near Rui Diaz. It blocks off of Boxall. Boxall turns around and smashes it up the field.
Who Wade, Rui Diaz is open inside the six on a set piece.
Well, that was criminal, man. That criminal.
Probably shouldn't be, right?
No, I don't think.
I'm just thinking, if you've done the scouting on the Sounders, there's a guy or two that you'd
see. Exactly what Casey said.
Was it Jordan that made the run to the near post with the flick, or was it Gustav? I can't remember who made the run to the near post. But it sucked. I don't know if it was Gaspar that was. Why is Gaspar marking Rui Diaz?
6-7 guys.
But they all suck in centrally. Rui Diaz just pulls off into the corner of the six.
But instead of going play-by-play post-game, is this lack of experience? To me, this is 15 minutes of sheer hell for Minnesota, and it didn't work out for them.
And it's not like they didn't learn their lesson, because they left him then again a 2 minutes
when
later.
When he smashed it off the post.
Exactly, when it came right off the post. So it's not a matter of, I mean, Minnesota really didn't understand how to defend set pieces, but then they didn't even learn their lesson after it burned them once.
They were brain dead by that stage.
They're usually up 3-0. So they're not used to defending.
There may be another team that has quit or what.
But you could see their body language in the 80th minute after the first goal that goes in, and they've got 10 behind in the final third. And you just say,
But Matt, the scary part is they had 10 behind in the final third, but only 6 were actually marking somebody.
Well, yeah.
There's
God
that
bless.
False. I'd almost rather have them be up the field than I know they're not actually. Because I'm relying on you to mark your guy, but you're not really going to do it. So then I'm stuck in no man's land trying to mark two people.
And God bless. I know we're not. Ozzie Alonso is a god, but at 35 in the 80th minute, he's not the same guy in 2011 that's wiping people out box to box. Yeah. Reynoso here, as we see highlights, not to take your show away, Jackson, but
no, I mean,
watching
we're all
Reynoso,
together here.
Watching Reynoso's class, he is the real deal, and LAFC Sprint making a team in expansion. Atlanta Sprints and Minnesota, you got to give them credit. They built pieces. They've layered upon layer. Adrian Heath told everyone, stay patient. Allianz Field is gorgeous. We've been there.
Agreed.
And this team is loaded with a couple players that have been hurt, and if they add something else, they look good for next year.
Let me quickly reset here. If you're just joining us, the Sounders are moving on to MLS Cup for the fourth time in 5 years. They're the second club to ever do it in that time span. We're watching the highlights here in the press box as the Sounders are able to come back over Minnesota. 3-2 is the final score. Minnesota led 2-0. They scored in the 67th minute. Sounders scored in the 75th. They leave Rui Diaz unmarked on a corner in the 90th, as we're seeing it here.
Boxall.
How about that?
Boxall flips it to Rui Diaz.
Well, under pressure.
Thank you, Minnesota.
Yeah, I got
you. In the 94th, it is a corner from Nico, and that's a great header from Gustav Svensson. He's able to just redirect it into the back of the net, and the Sounders, again, if you want to call it improbable, whatever, it is one of the great victories in this club's history. We have a lot to get to. I will mention your Budweiser man of the match is Gustav Svensson. Fans, make sure to cast your vote for the Budweiser Man of the Match every match day on the official Sounders FC app. I believe we have to take a quick break. We'll come back.
Oh,
continue.
Come on.
I'm the bad guy here, unfortunately. We have a lot to talk about, so please stay
with
us.
Are we going to 10 or not? Have you called Rich Moore? Can we go to 10 o'clock?
Please text.
Just call a boss.
We're going to be on for a little bit extra tonight. Absolutely. And one of the great wins in this club's history. We're here at Lumen Field. The Sounders headed back to MLS Cup 3-2. More next on Sports Radio 950 KJR.
You're listening to the home of Sounders FC, Seattle Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Craig, crank that up. that means, folks. Seattle Sounders winning tonight here at Lumen Field. 3-2 in one of the most amazing comeback victories you will ever see here in Major League Soccer. Sounders fell down 2-0 in the 75th they score, in the 90th they score, and the 94th, Gustav Svensson gets the winner.
Ladero flicked on and flicked in! The Seattle Sounders, through Gustav Svensson, have won the Western Conference Final! Gustav Svensson, his third playoff goal in his career, has won it for the Rave Green! Oh my lord!
Oh my lord indeed. That's your TCL Play of the Match. The Play of the Match, as always, is presented by TCL, the official smartphone and tablet partner of Seattle Sounders FC. My name is Jackson Feltz. I still can't breathe. Alongside Wade Weber, Casey Keller, and Matt Johnson, we are all here going till, well, if Kevin Shockey ever tells me when I can go to, we will keep
we'll
going.
We'll go till the
11:30. 11:30.
I will go until you tell me to get off the air. That's what we're going to play it tonight. That was absolutely incredible. We'll continue talking about this match all night and the fact that the Sounders are going back to MLS Cup. I will give you broadcast details of that right now so you can set your calendars, set your alarms. This Saturday in Columbus, Ohio, the Sounders will travel to Mopfrey Stadium. Is that how you pronounce that?
Mopfrey.
Mopfrey. Yeah. So Mopfrey Stadium will play host to Sounders and Columbus Crew MLS Cup 2020. And the Sounders can win their third in 5 years if they're able to get by the Crew, who were able to get by the New England Revolution. We'll talk more about that and the opponent here a little bit later on. But going back to this game, and Matt, I want to start with you here because obviously the emotions involved in all of this, trying to kind of, as somebody who's kind of watched over you as the play-by-play, and I'd like to kind of dive into the emotions of how you saw it play out in terms of the momentum of it, because you can sort of feel things happening, especially as kind of hearing you call the game from the booth right next to us, and it did feel like something was sort of coming for the last 6 minutes of this.
In the 70th, I was thinking, I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah.
You're going back and forth, and Casey's so awesome to go bouncing back and forth, or thoughts and where the ball is, and then thoughts, and you're like, in the 70th, it's just, you're really like, wow.
You're down
Minnesota.
Yeah.
Well, you're... Oh, Jackson, I'm not you. Now.
I'm down emotionally. I'm always down emotionally.
No, God
if I'm not
bless you. I'm just joking. In the 70s, but then when Will Bruin comes on, he brings that ice hockey thing to the whole deal, right? You know, the Hanson brothers,
Midwest boy,
and he's going to come in and stuff's going to happen. It's a nice way to say it. And to see what he picked up and how he scored that goal, it was garbage. That was a garbage ball, and then you knew as soon as that went in that he's going to feed right off of Rui Diaz. So I'm watching Bruin and watching his runs off Rui Diaz the whole time, and then when that goes in, you're kind of thinking, well, besides what Casey's talking about, the defensive issues with Minnesota, I'm thinking this is going to be – Seattle's going to score two goals.
So let's continue talking about that momentum then, Wade, and when we started to feel over there like – oh, wait a second. What? Something's, and suddenly the emotions switch for me from to, oh.
Yeah. Oh, this is going to be an obscure reference, but anyone that saw Victory, Sylvester Stallone, when Michael Caine says, we can win this. We can win this, guys. and they go out for the second half and they play the Nazis and all that. I did feel that. I felt like we're going to get, I even said that, we're going to get at least another chance.
You did, yeah.
I did. It's like, we're going to get another chance. But it wasn't anything, for me, it was Will Bruin. It was Will Bruin. That finish, you know, like Matt, you said it was just sort of garbage. They dumped it in and it bounces to him. It's not like.
Still a great finish, don't get me wrong.
One touch,
yeah.
No fuss, put it in the corner, put it on frame. Casey, you know it better than anyone in this booth for sure. If a goalkeeper is facing a lot of shots but doesn't have a lot of work, it's one thing. If a goalkeeper has a lot of work, it's a whole different thing. I don't think they asked a lot of questions to St. Clair. I don't.
And he made a lot of bad decisions. I mean, he came for some crosses that he didn't get. I thought on the goal that got called back from the foul from Rudy, he was in a poor position on that. And they didn't put him under enough pressure. As Matt talked about, there's how many crosses came into the box, but there wasn't a body on the end of it. The cross wasn't there. The shot went over the bar. Didn't really put him anywhere. Jordan comes in on the left foot right before the second goal, smashes one off the post, and then Minnesota go down and get the second. And it's about, you know, a response. And you saw a great response, and you saw nobody
quit, right?
You saw the response. Will Bruin, the shot from Rui Diaz, goes off of Boxall. He's in the right spot at the right time. Good technique, sweeps it into the corner, and gets it started. You have to get the first one.
Yeah.
That then puts Minnesota under pressure.
But the response goes two ways. Minnesota had zero response.
Oh, 100%.
2-1, and Adrian Heath was going to stay with his guys.
Well, no, he brought on Kai Kamara. He brought on an attacking player to try to think, and I understand the reason for it. Big body, hold the ball up, maybe another big body in for set pieces. But then as the pressure mounted, you know, there was times when you're winning 2-1 in late in a match to get into a final, and you're seeing a 40-yard ball to a guy that's wide open, and then 2v2, 3v3 at the back.
Yeah,
it's insane. How do you not just get your two blocks of five, have your line of confrontation around midfield, and instead you're just allowing these balls to come through and running at people and picking up loose pieces, winning set pieces, putting cross. I mean, it's insane.
I kind of cut Matt off early, and I think it was a good question that I'll ask now, is did it just scream of inexperience in the playoffs to not close that out the
that's
way they did?
That's what I thought. I thought that was it. No, you, I thought. No.
That's the way I feel.
Well, I thought there was a team. Casey said at one point they looked uncomfortable just passing the ball. And Seattle was like, yeah, we got this. Everything's fine. We've been there. This is not our first Western Conference final. It's not our third Western Conference final with this group of guys. Look at these guys that have been there and been down in big games. So it's not just that. But you had a comfortable veteran thing. And to answer your first question, Casey nailed it. You're going to win this in stoppage time. And I'm kind of looking. We both go back and forth. And I say things, and he looks at me like, you're nuts. And he says things, and I think, you are definitely nuts. And when he said they can win this in stoppage time,
I said they're going to win it in stoppage time.
I totally agree, because the opportunities were there. Rui Diaz looked as relaxed as ever, down a goal, let alone looking for a tying goal. Yeah. They looked relaxed, and Minnesota was uptight.
You said that they looked like a boxer that was just punch drunk and was just waiting for the knockout blow.
Yeah, I would still argue, though, that they had on the field experience. Now, Western Conference Final, that sort of thing, maybe there is a different pressure that comes with playoffs. Sure. But we're talking about, you know, dozens of internationals. And, again, say what you want about getting caps for Finland, but Robin Lud has 40 Finnish caps, right? Which means he's played in European qualifiers. He's played in World Cup qualifiers. This is an experienced player, right? He's 27 years old, for crying out loud. We're not even talking about Ozzie Alonso.
But tell me a player of those internationals that did anything that looked like they released pressure, that they did anything that said, you know, if he keeps that up for 15 minutes, Robin Lud, as soon as Kai Kamara came in and went to right mid, I thought he went
disappeared.
Thank you.
He disappeared.
Yeah, absolutely. Reynoso doesn't defend. Molino doesn't defend. Boxall got beat, and I don't know what happened to him. Hassani Dotson, 2-5-3. I get it. He did all right, but they didn't look like they were convincing.
So this is the argument that a lot of people have about where MLS needs to go forward. You have so many games in the regular season. You have no promotion. You have no relegation. You have 8 teams in the West and 10 teams in the East to make the playoffs. Games don't matter.
Yeah.
Until they matter.
Until they matter.
Now, the Sounders, and rarely do they matter. And so the Sounders now have a squad over the last 5 years that have played a lot of games that matter.
Yeah.
That looked like a Minnesota side that hadn't played a lot of games that mattered. They didn't know how to see a result out when they got put under pressure, because there is no pressure. You're not getting relegated. You're not doing, you know, you're just going to go, and the fans aren't going to be firebombing house.
There's no fans this year.
Yeah.
Doesn't that come down to coaching then? Doesn't that come down to coaching in October when you need
the 3 points?
But
that's like saying to a player, I'm going to coach you to be a great player.
I'm not going to coach you to be a great player.
Other point I'm going to put you into a position, and then you have to understand
most of
how
this
to
roster has played 4 playoff games. That's as much. That's it for Minnesota. Right. One last year, they lost in the first round to LA. They played a couple this year. This is their 4th game. Seattle, you're going with 17, 18, right. 22, wow. 16, 15. Again, well, the moment wasn't too big
enough. Will Bruin scored his ninth playoff goal.
Yes.
That's doubled, more than double matches that any of the Minnesota, most of the Minnesota players have played.
I think one of the things, the lineup from the beginning is not the Sounders' strongest lineup. And I think that can't be stressed enough. The Sounders' strongest line, the one that you would have gone into preseason, would have had.
Last 15 minutes.
Yeah, it would have been pretty much what you saw. Maybe Will Bruin, you can make an argument. But I think Jovan Jones hasn't done enough in the playoffs. And Will, in just a brief cameo, was one of those players that Brian and, everyone
sorry,
likes.
Sorry, not to
Brian
host
loves
the
him
show.
As well. Yeah. But I do think that there's something about having those guys in reserve. Minnesota had nothing like Seattle as a bench.
No,
nothing
I just looked at their bench and who you're going to bring in. You're going to bring in Brent Coleman.
Yep.
Brent Coleman's going to be one of your center back.
You're bringing me in before you're bringing Brent Coleman.
I would bring in you.
But not to jump on. But let's fast forward to the final now.
Yes.
What are the decisions that Schmetzer's going to make? Do you put Gustav alongside of João Paulo? Put Christian out wide. You know,
does
Leerdam go back to his normal starting position? I mean,
do you fancy yourself down two goals to Pedro Santos and Jossi Zardes and Artur and
Zellerayan?
Do you figure that, or do you need to do exactly this? Obviously, you can't do this on the road, and it doesn't happen very often where you're coming from two back in the 70th, 75th. I think the discussion with Leerdam this week was tough, but it was maybe an eye opener. Maybe you have all these guys. You guys have played the pro sport. You got the guy you need to put your arm around. You got the guy that kick him in the butt. You get the guy that you can't love him up too much. I don't know where Kelvin is right there, but Kelvin has not been in the playoffs yet. He hasn't started, and that's got to be a shocker to him.
There's a lot of lineup decisions that have to be made, and I want to pick all of your guys' brains on all of these decisions here, because we have answers and Brian Schmetzer should be listening. Now he's about to have his post-game press conference.
Yeah, he's not listening.
He should listen.
Definitely not to me.
No.
Not to me.
Well, we're going to look ahead to the final, because it's MLS Cup coming up on Saturday. Once again, the Seattle Sounders are able to come back, beat Minnesota United 3-2. We'll have broadcast info on MLS Cup coming up this Saturday. We will have a lot more information and look ahead to the actual game.
Are we getting a Winnebago? Ryan
Schaber, you might want to hit us up right now. Let us know if we're going to be
road
tripping.
If we give Pete Fewing enough coffee, he'll drive all the way there.
Yes.
That is a fact.
We just have to rotate the guys who sit in the passenger seat with Pete.
Brad Evans has one of those little Airstreams.
As long as I get to bring the music. That'll keep you awake. That'll keep you awake.
And your buddy from L.A.
Yeah.
All right. We will talk a lot about the tactics in this game and talk about the game itself and how the Columbus Crew got there to host this game. A lot more coming up on the Sounders FC postgame show. It was a wild one. 3-2. We're headed back to MLS Cup. More next on Sports Radio 950 KJR.
You're listening to the home of Sounders FC, Seattle Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Well, for the fourth time in 5 years, your Seattle Sounders are going back to MLS Cup. They are still blowing confetti in the air here. I think those are from the...
That sounded like a ho-hum. Well, we're going back to MLS Cup.
Right. Well, you know, it's just a foregone conclusion. Yeah, it's just the norm at this point. It's just kind of like,
we don't even have to play 90 minutes. We can just play the last 15 and get there.
I mean, we really did tonight because it's a 3-2 comeback win. Minnesota went up 2-0. In the 75th minute, Will Bruin scores. In the 90th, Rui Diaz scores. And in the 94th, Gustav Svensson wins it. And with tonight's win, your Seattle Sounders, like I said, are heading to their fourth MLS Cup in the last 5 years. You can tune in this Saturday, December 12th at 5 p.m. when the Rave Green take on Columbus Crew SC in the championship. To stay up to date on all the club's preparations in advance, visit the Sounders FC Playoffs Hub at soundersfc.com/2020playoffs. The Sounders FC Playoffs Hub is presented by Fred Meyer, fresh for everyone.
Jackson.
My name is Jackson Feltz. I'm alongside Wade Weber, Casey Keller, Matt Johnson. And there's a lot to talk about with this game. Columbus, this is the normal segment where we talk about the other results around the league. Columbus gets by New England 1-0 on, what was it, Sunday? Yes, I believe Sunday afternoon.
Better known as yesterday.
Yesterday is another word for that. Yeah.
Well, you know, in 2020, one day feels
get
like
off
a
this
month.
Path.
It's 2020. I don't know how long days are anymore. But, no, that was yesterday, and I don't know.
What? It was.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So listen, it's a 2-0 win, I believe, for the Columbus Crew over New England. And it was sort of a game, I'm not sure how many of you guys really dove into it, but a game that wasn't lacking a lot of quality. Columbus broke through in the second half. New England did not look like the same Revolution team we saw throughout the playoffs, Wade. And ultimately, this Columbus team just did enough every step of the way, got some good wins, and they're hosting.
Well, yeah, it is one of those mathematical things, and it wasn't always my strong suit. But when they went to points per game because of all of the COVID suspensions and cancellations and postponements, that was right at a time when I thought Seattle were well positioned to actually win the Supporters' Shield. I thought that maybe not catch Philadelphia or Toronto, but certainly finish ahead of the rest of the pack. Seattle had a rough patch, but I tell you, so did Columbus. Columbus went through a period where, in the beginning of the year, they were the darlings. I thought they were everybody's dark horse, which suddenly doesn't become a dark horse anymore. And now they're back to where people say they should be, right? A contender in the East. They added Darlington Nagbe. I think that's an underappreciated move to shore up a midfield because they no longer have Will Trapp, who was, you know, kind of everything for them for a long period of time. They brought in Zellerayan.
Yeah, they spent a lot of money on Zellerayan.
Quality player. Another Argentine 10 like Reynoso, like the other guys that have been around the league. This is going to be a tough challenge. The first MLS Cup, not against Toronto, right? So yeah. I'm actually excited about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is a Columbus team that is well-coached, and Caleb Porter, as much as Sounders fans probably – feel about him like they feel about
what's say, don't care for him. Well,
what's the old 49ers coach Harbaugh, right? I'm sure that Seahawks fans have a special spot in their heart for Harbaugh. I think Caleb Porter grudgingly has to be respected for taking teams from different conferences.
Look what he's done the last 2 years. They went on a run last year where
good team.
Most coaches without a guaranteed contract would be out the door. They lost, 11 of 13 or something crazy. They come back. They're in the final. Hosting the final. Yeah. He has grooved this team to exactly what he's want. He's got – talk about if Adrian Heath give Molino confidence. He has given Jossie Zardes all the confidence in the world. Art Tours turned into a player that he used to just be a hatchet guy, and he's much more than that now. Pedro Santos is a very complimentary player right next to Zellerayan. This is a tough team, but I think he's done what he's wanted. Maybe in Portland he was a bit handcuffed because this team is exactly what Caleb Porter wants.
Casey, dig into the kind of defending this Columbus team that, as Matt said, can hit you from a bunch of different angles. They have unlike Minnesota, who we also saw with a very talented number 10, they have an extremely talented forward where Minnesota didn't.
Well, and I think if you look at this this Columbus side, they went through the trials and tribulations in the middle of the season that they needed to get themselves right. You know, they figured it out. They've got, you know, Mensa, who's in the argument for Defender of the Year.
Absolutely.
You've got some situations there where it's – look, I look at Mensa like I look at Yamar. A couple big bodies, aggressive.
Alphas.
Strong. Yeah,
sure.
Very much so. And so – it's then, you know, finding the piece. Wade made a good point about Nagbe. Nagbe always confused me. I didn't know what he was. I know he's a very good player, but he's one of those guys that, you know, he's not a defensive mid, but as an attacking mid, he doesn't get a lot of assists or goals. He's, you know, but I think he's finding more of a home now the older he gets, playing a little bit deeper. And really linking play.
I was going to say, he's not a six, he's not really an eight, but he takes right in front of the back four and pushes it forward immediately.
And I think he's
he's everywhere.
And he's learning how to defend better, where he didn't defend early on in his years.
I don't think he's had to, but
he was not asked to.
No,
but now in the role that he's playing, he's getting better at it. So it's an interesting, you know, lineup, Columbus. And Columbus against New England, again, should have probably – Matt Turner had a very good game in the New England goal. Columbus probably should have been more comfortable. In the end, the difference between tonight, New England upped the pressure. They had, I wouldn't say clear-cut chances to score, but they weren't given clear-cut chances to score. They had a couple half chances, but they saw the game out. Minnesota should have seen this game out. They could not. Now, obviously, a ton of credit goes to the Sounders for putting them under that kind of pressure. But Columbus is a different animal, for sure.
You can't go 2-0 down to this team, Wade.
No, well, you wouldn't think so. But there's so many curiosities about this game. The fact that I'm assuming there were fans in Ohio.
There's a 1,500.
Yeah,
I think.
So it's a small number. But again, it's that idea that we're back in front of a live audience. I wouldn't bet against this Sounders team doing anything. Because you've seen this. That I thought going on the road and winning at L.A. was one of those moments that last year in the conference final that I'd take with me forever. Well, that's been supplanted by this down to in an empty stadium. Now, if the place is packed and rocking and you have everyone behind you, I can see that sort of comeback. But this is down to players. Mm-hmm. This is down to character and grit and all those cliches that all are rooted in some form of truth. And I think that the Sounders on the road at Columbus as the defending champion are going to be the favorites. I think that it's hard not to say that with the quality throughout the lineup, right? Columbus are still 1 year removed from garbage.
Okay.
Right? No, honestly.
No, I believe you. I'm going to ask the two ex-players because they are sitting watching this game, and Seattle just scored 3 within the last 15 minutes and threw everything and the kitchen sink and forks and knives and the bowls. And they just saw what happened, and they can't be happy. That cannot make them comfortable, Casey, where Columbus is saying, oh, man, I wish we had the upstart underdog right. Minnesota who might come here and just kind of knock it around and defend. But now we have the reigning MLS champs, 4th MLS Cup in the last 5 years, and they just scored 3 in a shock fest,
yep.
Right? You can throw everything up there, but Bruin did put it in the back of the net. Rui Diaz did finish, and Gustav flicked the header and executed it.
Right.
So
I'm going to go back to something you said earlier. You're at this stage of a season, you're playing a squad. And if you're looking at the strength of the two squads, before the match kicked off, that the Sounders had the best starting 11, but they comfortably had the best squad. And we saw that come to fruition as that game, as the Sounders needed to bring numbers off the bench. And let's not even say, they also could have been awarded a penalty on the foul on Roldan.
Yeah, did you guys think that was awesome?
So, we're sitting in the other room. I couldn't hear your broadcast, but from my mind, of course he kicked him in the leg. Roldan got the ball first,
right.
And he got kicked.
I was so surprised he didn't go have a look at it.
That it wouldn't be that hard.
No.
Right? They've got the VAR guy.
No, I thought I was talked into it by my partner here, like, oh, yeah, that's a PK. And I'm usually the other way.
Yeah.
PK, PK. And he's usually, no, Matt, that wasn't studs up.
Yeah.
You know, and I just thought, wow.
Yeah,
but the more
you looked at it, the more you got the angle and you said, at first it looked like two guys challenging for the ball. And then you said, oh, wait a minute. Roldan comfortably got there first, and then the follow through, and I said, and it doesn't matter that you're not going to goal. It doesn't matter what you're doing. A foul inside the 18 is a foul in the 18.
I can't kick you in the box, right? That's sort of the.
I have to win the ball first if I'm going to kick you.
I kind of have to agree. Yes. You still like it that the referee is in charge. He said no, and they moved on immediately.
Right.
Right? I mean, the man is still the man.
But back to the point, Matt, is yes, Columbus Crew are looking at the squad that the Seattle Sounders have. What Brian Smetzer can put on the field and what he can bring off the bench if he needs to either change stuff offensively or defensively, and that's much stronger than what Minnesota could put forward.
That's a perfect segue into what I want to do now, which is kind of develop this into a roundtable and go around the room on each of these big lineup questions. And, of course, like we mentioned, Brian Schmetzer is listening to us right now.
100%. He's taking notes. He's taking notes.
It's me, he's hanging out.
Let's start with this.
If it's me, he's just shaking his head.
By the way, Gustav Svensson just revealed in the locker room, or I guess in his interview, he was the person that tested positive for COVID-19.
The worst kept secret in Seattle.
Absolutely. Yes. When we kept saying medically clear to play.
I didn't have the guts to ask, so I didn't know.
So Gustav Svensson did have COVID. That's the reason he hasn't played, but we saw him come on in the second half, and he obviously scores the game-winning goal. He was your Budweiser man of the match. So the first question is, and this is all assuming that everybody could start, and who knows if they all
are
able
to or not. Yeah,
we
don't know who's banged up, who's got some, but yes.
Exactly. So we're right now just assuming that everybody could theoretically start this game. So the first question is, would you go with the threesome that we saw tonight of Jovan on the right and then Christian Roldan and Joao Paulo holding? Or do you go Joao Paulo and Gustav Svensson with Christian Roldan on the right? Wade, I'll start with you. We'll go around the room.
I think that Gustav comes in. He's, you know, Swedish international, World Cup roster, etc. I think that the decision of what happens beyond that is perhaps more complicated. And it might come down to, do you want Jovan Jones in the slot on the wing? And that, again, that's if it's me, I look at it and think Christian Roldan has to be on the field. The energy he provides, yeah. He's going to defend. He's two-way. Now, is he a wing? Not really. Is he a holder? Not really.
But is Jovan Jones?
But no. Jovan Jones, not either. So I would slide Christian up. I'd have Joao Paulo and Gustav. I think that that's probably the best pairing. I really think on a top club, and I'm talking top in the world, those three, Christian, Gustav, and Joao Paulo, are fighting for two spots. And
correct.
Then you've got a wing.
Correct.
That's a proper a proper wing, not a inverted.
But we talked about it off air. In MLS, with the way the cap system works,
exactly.
Sometimes you don't have that. Sometimes you're filling in people because you don't have the money in the cap to go just buy what you really want or what you need, and so you have to make up the difference places.
So what do you do, Casey?
For me, I think you have to ask, if I'm coaching in a final, I have to take sentiment out of the equation. I have to put what I feel is my best 11 that I have. And now the question is, do I feel that Shane O'Neill is better than Arriaga? That's a question I have to ask. Not that, Shane, you've done well.
And that was another one I was going to go
right.
to. So
This is black and white.
This is it.
You're
right
talking
there.
Black and white
yeah.
in an MLS
yeah,
Cup
yeah,
final.
Yeah, I'm not thinking, Shane, you've done well. You got the goal against Dallas. I'm thinking I have to put my best two center backs on the field for the final. Now, another question, is Brad Smith better than Nuhu? Now, I know Brad Smith doesn't have the fitness, and you'll also have to look into the equation.
That's a huge thing, is fitness.
Of playing 120 minutes and taking it to penalties. Exactly. Now, can you count on Brad Smith to be able to go that long? I'm not sure he's there yet. So I think Nuhu keeps his spot on the left.
So we'll go back to the midfield here in a minute. So right there, we'll go around for Nuhu or Brad Smith. This is, again, assuming Brad Smith could start
this segment's going to take an hour and a half.
Well, thankfully, I got the message that we're good until 10 p.m., so we're going to keep rocking. So we'll go around.
Nuhu I'll make it short. I hate to ruin this, but I'm keeping the same 11, and I can be argued off that because, to me, Jovan Jones has been disappointing minimal. I mean, it's been minimal. He's been more than disappointing. Right. I don't know where Jovan, if he's been asked to do a few things. I don't think he has. I think he has had a poor playoff performance. But I would keep the 11 out there because, for me, I would want Gustav out there pushing Christian to the right and Lir Dom in. Three changes in 1 week. Alex Roldan's fit. I don't think Lir Dom is 120 minutes fit. He can come in. I don't think Gustav's 120 minutes fit.
But that's back to
fit.
The question we said. We have to know the fitness.
Well,
we're just saying,
right.
if they are...
Yeah, Arriaga, no. Gustav, no. Lir Dom, no. I don't change one. I move there, and I make changes in the 60th minute. The scientist did it. He got three goals. We can argue about Minnesota's reaction, but he got three goals when he needed to, and I don't make one change.
Wade, we'll go to the fullbacks for you then. We're looking at both of those matchups, Nuhu versus Brad and Kelvin versus Alex.
Yeah, I mean, I got to just say, there is a part of me, Matt, that is warmed by your just listen.
By your naivete?
Well,
you can say it.
No, it's...
By not coaching one game.
I'm not
over 12-year-olds.
I'm not sure I'd
I'm not
I'd go
taking
there,
little
but,
Bobby out. Little Bobby is going to cry if
but,
he does that.
But there is
his parents
there is
give
a,
money.
There's a mood, a momentum that you can ride. I do think that Kelvin Lir Dom is right now maybe a better choice than Alex Roldan in the attacking half. I think Alex has impressed me more than I thought he would in his defensive capabilities. His ability to find a pass, he's actually very good.
His crosses were pretty decent, but regardless.
I'm not even talking service into the box. Yeah. He's pretty good at finding and linking those passes. So he's exceeded my expectation. I wouldn't change him. And on the left, I mean, where are we talking Jovan Jones, maybe? I mean, you're only throwing two names at me, and I think Jovan Jones is a left back.
Nuhu is the starting left back. Let me just stop you right there. Nuhu is the starting left back this year. I think they've known it. Brian knows it.
Well, he didn't start it.
I'm just saying the last four or five games. I mean,
who
this is your
Mark
guy.
Who was DeBassi on the goal?
Nuhu.
Nuhu, and he was a step slow. And that was dropped on a dime. Reynoso dropped it like he has.
Those are moments, though.
They are moments, but you're not
that
moving.
That should have ended the Sounders season. That should have ended the Sounders season.
But you're not moving.
If Minnesota had turned the screws the way they should have on the end of that
we
game.
We shouldn't be sitting here. We should have been off the air 45 minutes ago. Yeah. No, that's a whole different deal. But I don't think Nuhu, after the consecutive starts, he went 90. We talked about it late in the year.
I agree with you. I think Nuhu plays. I agree with Wade. I think Gustav comes in and you slide Christian out wide. I think you need that experience central. I think there is an argument to be had against Alex Roldan and against Leerdam. And for me, it's almost a question of what's the decision you're doing for next year. That sounds kind of funny because I just said take sentiment out of the equation. But if you're saying, Alex Roldan, you're now my starter at right back, then he plays. If he's not your starter at right back
for next season, then Leerdam plays. I'd say that message has already been sent in the last couple games of, are you capable? And he's answered that with yes. Now, Kelvin has to answer it of pressing the issue, either in the build-up to this match and the build-up to MLS Cup, and making a decision for Brian Schmitz. I think that's a valid point, but I think that question's been there, and now it's, all right, Kelvin, what are you going to do with the challenge?
Well, but how is he going to do that challenge in 5 days of training? That's all I'm saying. You're not getting subbed.
Well, his last 15 minutes were pretty impressive.
Well, I agree.
I mean, they were a veteran.
But I think this is more of a big picture than just this is how you look right now. Yeah. They know what they can get. They know that Leerdam has a ton more experience than Alex Roldan. He both Europe here, MLS Cups, everything. So the question mark will be is, I think Leerdam's out of contract. I think
he is. But you're also also moving in different gray spots between Garth Lagerwey's job and Brian Schmetzer's job, I think, because you're talking about questions being asked about future. And here in 5 days until Saturday, we're talking about a starting lineup and who's proven for next year. And I think to both your points that Alex Roldan is saying, oh, yeah, you can mark me in. You can mark me in at right back. Now it's your decision. I think, and he's pressing Kelvin. He has now moved Kelvin to another spot. Yeah, Gustav Svensson in the middle for me.
Yeah, I agree with that.
How calm did he look needing a goal? And he's, you know, been to World Cups, and he's been all over the place. So Gustav in, Roldan on the right.
And then the rest Jones pretty much picks itself.
Jones hits the bench.
I'm getting a text from Danny Jackson, one of our colleagues, who just is pointing out that our discussion is basically what's going on in Caleb Porter's mind to some extent. Like, who does he prepare for? Is it Christian as a midfielder? Is it Christian as a – I don't know. Like, so he almost has to have two – game plans Caleb Porter going into this game, because Kelvin, or let me flip that around, Brad Smith is different than Nuhu and presents an entirely different set of problems.
Definitely.
But I just don't
think he's there yet.
No, I agree. But it
was the most unfortunate timing of that injury.
All of these decisions that Brian has will affect Columbus, could affect him significantly.
Again, Columbus, we're hoping that Minnesota, who hasn't changed their lineup in two matches, we're just going to sit and go, bam.
It just got really complicated.
It got much more complicated. And again, Caleb Porter versus Seattle or Minnesota. Yeah, no, he's not sleeping tonight. He's up right now watching tape.
It really is. If you're just joining us, the Sounders are moving to MLS Cup, fourth time in 5 years. We're talking about the matchup coming up on this Saturday, 5 p.m. broadcast right here on KJR. I believe we'll take the air. I don't even know if there's going to be a pre-match show exactly. There's Huskies postgame, so it may just be directly from your Huskies postgame show right to kickoff of MLS Cup.
What is kick? Probably 5:25?
That's what we're thinking, right? So we'll see how it all works out. But it could be right there, kickoff of MLS Cup.
Maybe Softy does part of the part of the pregame show with us.
Okay.
With you, I should say.
Sure.
It could be a joint Huskies Sounders pre-post. Post-pre.
Remember how they, you know what they say about no bad ideas? Well, we will have a long, long post-game show for sure for that one, no matter what happens there for MLS Cup this Saturday. I'm with you guys. I think Gustav, just based on how he looked, I will say about Brad Smith, I love what he can bring off the bench there. If you do need a goal, then that is a certainly big piece that you can add off the bench, no matter what. Good choice, or good problem to have for Brian Schmetzer, that he has a lot of hard choices, and it's also good because it's well put by Danny Jackson there. Caleb Porter has a lot to think about because it's Saturday, and for the Sounders, you know, you go right back to it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or travel on Friday, I would assume, and then the game is Saturday. So here we go, and let's get to it. Well, I think it's high time that we say adieu. There's Sounders Weekly tomorrow at 8 p.m. here on KJR. We'll continue talking about this victory. We will look ahead more to MLS Cup. There is a lot here to discuss, but what a broadcast tonight. Thank you to all of you guys for staying around. Matt, I don't know what you had.
What am I going to do? It's COVID. Up, where am I going? What am I doing? Going home and just bouncing off the walls?
Thanks for having me.
No,
it's an absolute pleasure to keep you around. Casey Keller, a fantastic call there with Matt. Wade, I believe it's going to be the whole crowd for MLS Cup on the broadcast this Saturday, so I look forward to seeing you.
There's a lot of pressure on me from Pete and Danny that they won and I had to win tonight to bring it home. So because we all come back for the final, baby.
Yes.
The band's back together.
The band, finally, they're the four of us. So we may have a pre-match show, we may not. We'll figure it out. But kickoff.
There will be a halftime and post.
There will be a halftime and long post.
Casey, are you working? Oh, you're going to be there, aren't you?
Of course.
Oh, good. Okay.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun on Saturday.
Where am I going, man? Are you kicking me out already?
No, I just felt you know, like Wade's talking about his group. I don't have a group. I got a guy. I got one guy.
I got one final thing, Jackson.
Wait, please, yes.
I had in 2016 in Toronto, I wore the 2009 inaugural
you were
scarf.
I've
season ticket holder,
season
ticket holder the whole time. 2019, I wore the 2016 season ticket holder scarf.
Okay.
And tonight, for the first time, I'm actually wearing the 2020 season ticket scarf. And which means I have to wear this next week, don't I?
So last year, I was
because jinxes are real.
Last year, I'm going out to do the pregame.
Yeah,
no, not ESPN, but it was a pregame when we came out. The different players from different teams came out. So I came out.
Yeah.
You know, after Dwayne DeRosario, before I came. All the Toronto guys have all these scarves. I'm just coming down from the ESPN booth and then the radio with Matt, and I don't have a scarf. So I come over back behind the goal, and I, like, motion to some guy in the stands, and I, like, steal his scarf. And then I mean to give it back to him, but then I got to run up here and call the game, and then I get called out on Twitter by his wife that I stole this dude's scarf. So
well, we'll take care
of it. You got it back to him, though.
What would you like? What kind of scarf?
It's in my garage, I think.
You like a West Ham scarf for next Saturday? Or?
I'm a Millwall, ex-Millwall. Player, and you want me to wear
Tottenham,
a West Ham
maybe
scarf?
Tottenham.
Come on, man.
What do you want?
Sort yourself
out. We'll get you a scarf.
Matt, come on.
We'll get you a Sounder scarf.
I assume that MLS Cup scarves are going to be on sale very, very soon for Seattle and Columbus. I will certainly be getting a couple of those. But
get one for Case, would you? Obviously, that's the point of the last 5 minutes.
Yes, I need my scarf.
Well, we will be calling the match this coming Saturday once again. So just make sure to set your alarm. Make sure to be listening right around 5 o'clock, 5:15. MLS Cup here this coming Saturday. Sounders back in there for the fourth time in 5 years. They are only the second club to attain that mark. Wade, Casey, Matt, Craig back in the studio, Terry here on site. Fantastic job by both of them, our awesome engineers. Thank you so much to them.
Who both said we're going till 10? Hold on.
Yeah. I thought you're supposed
to get
me off
that?
By 9:30.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. But nonetheless, thank you so much for all of you for staying tuned and being with us all night. We appreciate you all for listening. And for the Sounders, 3-2 win, comeback win over Minnesota, one of the great wins in club history, going back to MLS Cup. Saturday, 5 p.m., Columbus, Seattle, there at Mopfrey Stadium in Columbus, Ohio. We will talk to you then. Sounders Weekly tomorrow at 8 p.m. We'll continue talking Sounders soccer. Coverage of the Sounders trip to MLS Cup on all day starting at 6 a.m. tomorrow with Chuck and Buck. For Jackson Feltz, thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Sounders FC Postmatch Show on Seattle Sports Radio 950 KJR.